Chapter 1 Alwyn was in Wicked Wine, buying gin. She understood from Rupert, whose shop it was, that these days wicked meant smart or cool, not evil, just as gay in some circles was starting to signify bad or nasty. She didn't much care, though she wondered why a shop which sold beer and spirits and Coca-Cola and orange juice advertised itself as purveying only wine. Rupert said, "That's the way it is," as if this explained everything. She bought 3 bottles of the cheap kind. Bombay Sapphire came expensive if you consumed as much of it as she did. Gin was her favourite, though she had no objection to vodka. Purely for variety's sake, she had tried rum, but rum was vile if you drank it neat, and she couldn't stomach orange juice or, God forbid, black currant. "Can you manage?" said Rupert. "Or do you want me to do you a double bag?" "Not really." "Your neighbour Stuart, is it? Don't know his other name, was in here this morning, stocking up on champers. Having a party, I said, and he said it was a housewarming, though he's been here for weeks, and he was inviting all the other folk in Litchfield House." Alwyn nodded, but said nothing. Outside it was snowing, and not the kind of snow that becomes a raindrop when it touches the ground. This snow settled and gradually built up. Alwyn, in rubber boots, trudged through it along Kenilworth Parade. The council had cleared a passage in the roadway for cars, a passage that was rapidly whitening, but done nothing for pedestrians apart from scattering the ice-coated slippery pavement with mustard-coloured sand. She passed the furniture shop, the pizza place, the post office, and Mr. Alley's on the corner, and turned up into Kenilworth Avenue. Most of the time the place was as dreary as only a London outer suburb can be, but the veiling of snow transformed it into a pretty Christmas card. Small conifers in the front garden of the block poked their dark green spires through the snow blanket, and the melting icicles dripped water. Alwyn staggered up the steps with her bag of bottles. The automatic doors parted to receive her. In the hallway, she encountered Rose Preston-Jones with her dog, McPhee. On the whole, Alwyn was indifferent to other people, or else she disliked them. But Rose she distrusted, much as she distrusted Michael Constantine. If not herself a doctor, Rose, with her acupuncture and dabbling in herbalism, her detoxing and her aromatherapy, was the next best or worst thing. Such people were capable of interfering with her habit. "Is it still snowing?" Rose asked. "Not really." Alwyn had long ago discovered that this is a response which may be made with impunity to almost any inquiry, including, "Are you well?" and "Are you free on Saturday?" Not that people often asked her anything. She made it plain that she was mostly inaccessible. Rose looked at the carrier bag, or Alwyn thought she did. Maybe she just looked down at the dog, looked up again, and said she must get on with McPhee's walk. The lift was waiting, its sliding door open. Alwyn had just stepped in when Michael Constantine came running through the automatic doors. He had the sort of legs which, when possessed by models, are described as so lengthy as to reach up to their necks, and was 6.5 feet tall, so his stride was very long. He was the politest of the residents, and asked Alwyn if she was well. "Not really." Alwyn forbore to ask him how he was, and, though she knew his flat was on the first floor, pressed the button for the second. It was a peculiarity of the lift that, once this floor had been signalled, the intermediate could not be, so Michael had to go up to the top with her. He remembered to be a doctor, though it was only recently that he'd become one. "Keep warm," he said. "Look after yourself." Alwyn shrugged, her alternative response. She got out of the lift without a word, just as one of the girls came out of the flat she shared with 2 girls of similar age. None of them had ever been seen dressed otherwise than in jeans, with a T-shirt, sweater or flouncy dress on her top half. One was rather overweight, one thin and one in between. As well as jeans, this one had a red quilted coat over what seemed like several jumpers. Alwyn had been told their names over and over, but she contrived to forget them. She let herself into flat 6 and put the transparent bag down on the kitchen counter. The flat was furnished for comfort, not for beauty. There were no books, no plants, no ornaments, no curtains, and no clocks. A deep, soft, shabby sofa occupied one wall of the living room, and